So let's start. I think we're ready to go. We'll chant Jai Radha Madhava and wait for more people to join us. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari, Gopi Jana Balabha Giri Varadhaute, Gopi Jana Malabha Giri Varadhaute, Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana, Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari, Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhaute, Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhaute, Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana, Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana, Yamuna Tira Banachari, Yamuna Tira Banachari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa Parivedipacharya, All Siddhata Siddhashi Shimad. His Divine Grace Abhaya Chananada Bhaktivedanta Gosami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anandakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Friends Say Go. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shidwaita Gadadha, Shivasati Gaur, Bhakta Vrinda Gajai, Sri Sri Radhakrishna, Govigopata Sayam Kunda, Radhakunda, Giri Govardhan Kijai, Vrindavanam Kijai, Mathuram Kijai, Jagannatha Swami Kijai, Yamunamai Kijai, Shrimati Talasi Devi Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Gaur. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Gaur. So Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Budhale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Namani, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharani, Nirvashesha Sunyavadi, Paschacha Deja Tarani. So I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So welcome to the evening Bhagavad Gita class, and actually study more than class. So we're still on the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and we've done, let's see, this is going to be our 64th video. It's quite a bit. So by the time we're finished, oh my God, it's going to be a lot of videos. It's going to be over 120, 130 videos in the Bhagavad Gita study series. And they're all available at a very low discounted price on YouTube. And my YouTube channel, Veer Krishna Goswami. Anybody who signs up today, you will get a special discount coupon. Anyway, it's free. So, let's continue with the Bhagavad Gita study. And at the end, I'm going to do a little poll of everyone. So just notice where your chat window is, because I'm going to ask everyone to vote. Not for the President of the United States, but for a possible change in the time of the daily classes. Okay. All right, so we will continue with Bhagavad Gita. I'm actually having such a good time with this Bhagavad Gita. I'm learning new things, even though I've read the Bhagavad Gita countless times before. I'm actually learning new things each time I read the Bhagavad Gita, and sort of following, finding all sorts of parallels in the Gita, where Krishna says the same thing in one chapter, and another thing in it, and the same thing in another chapter, you know, parallel verses. Just like we were, just reading in this chapter, we're reading Satatam Kirtiyanto Mam. You know, beginning Mahatmanastumam Porta Dharmam Prakritim Ashrita Vajantyananya Manaso Yata Bhutada Madhyam, and then Satatam Kirtiyanto Mam Yatantanischa Dridavrita Namashyantash Mam Bhakja Nichi Yukta Upasate. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, is Prabhupada, in this chapter, he talks about Mahatmas, and of course makes reference, these are previous classes, makes reference indirectly to certain political leaders in India and rubber stamping Mahatmas. Mahatmanas Tumam Partha Dhaivi Prakriti Mashrita. And then after that, Satatam Kirtayanto Mam. So I was thinking how that was a parallel in the 10th chapter of the Gita to two of the nutshell verses. Aham Sarvasya Prabhu Matak Sarvam Bhavati Vaiti Matwa Bhajanti Mam Buddha Bhava Samambhata, that I'm the source of everything, therefore everybody worship, the devotees worship me with all their hearts. And then the next verse specifically is Machita Magata Prana Bodhyantascha Parasparam Akatyantascha Mam Nicham Dushanti Cha Ramanti Cha. How the devotees are actually enlivening with each other by talking about my pastimes, Machita Magata Prana Bodhyantascha Paraspara, exchanging with each other. And Katyantas Jamam Nicham, my eternal pastimes, and then Tushanti Cha Ramanti Cha. This way they're actually satisfied and happy. So it's interesting how when you read the Bhagavad Gita each time, new lights come about. And I was listening to a memory that one devotee had of Prabhupada. It was actually a Sri Chakirti memory. It was Madhavi's memory, that the devotees were in Japan for Janmashtami, and they were all in Prabhupada's quarters, and Prabhupada told them they should read the Krishna book the whole day. And then every devotee was reading, let's say, one chapter of the Krishna book, and when they got to the end, Prabhupada said, well, it's my turn. And everyone was shocked, you know, Prabhupada's going to read the Krishna book. So then Prabhupada started reading the Krishna book, and he, as he was reading the Krishna book, he got so enlivened and was so emotive, the devotees were surprised. Wow. And actually, that proves Prabhupada's point that because Krishna was dictating all these books to Srila Prabhupada. And so Prabhupada was just so enlivened, even though he wrote it, he was enlivened how Krishna was manifest in every word and every page and every sentence of the Krishna book. So that's an ideal way to celebrate Janmashtami. This is coming up, is to read Krishna book. And maybe online we'll read a little bit of Krishna book, or maybe we'll share with devotees online. Maybe we'll have an online Krishna book reading that day. Let's see what we have planned, as long as I don't have to manage Janmashtami here. Of course, we probably won't have to manage Janmashtami here because we're not going to really have big programs. We're going to have people come one by one to see the deities and do different things. But let's see how busy I am. All right, so continuing with our study of the Bhagavad Gita, this is text 25, of course, in the 9th chapter, a very important verse that basically states, you know, whatever you worship, that's where you go, buddy. So I will read it. Yanti devavrata devan pitrin yanti pitri vrata bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti madhyasino pima. Yanti go devavrataha, worship of demigods, devan to the demigods, pitrin to the ancestors. Yanti go pitri vrataha, worshippers of ancestors, bhutani to the ghosts and spirits. Yanti go bhuta ijaha, worshippers of ghosts and spirits. Yanti go matmai yajnaha, devotees of pibat, mam and to me. Very important verse. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship the ancestors go to the ancestors. I'll describe what that means. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings, and those who worship me will live with me. So, obviously, about worshiping the demigods, we know what that is. But what does it mean to worship the ancestors? Well, that involves something called the pinda that people do after their, let's say, ancestors, or their, you know, ancestors sounds really far away, or even someone who just died in their family, to the pitas. Pitas. So, what it is there's this place called Pitri Loka. And those who do this puja to the ancestors, or for the ancestors, they go to this Pitri Loka after they die. However, those who worship their ancestors, and their ancestors are in hell, they're not doing a Vedic system, a Vedic yajna, then they may go to where their ancestors are. People do engage in ancestor worship. And anyway, those who worship ghosts and spirits, and we see people like that who worship ghosts and spirits, and they become a ghost and a spirit. Ooh. And those who worship Krishna, they go to Krishna. It's very easy to understand. If one has any desire to go to the moon, the sun, or any other planet, one can attain the desired destination by following specific Vedic principles recommended for that purpose, such as the process technically known as Darsha Purnamasi. These are vividly described in the Fruit of Activities portion of the Vedas, which recommends a specific worship of demigods situated on different heavenly planets. Now, we should mention the Vedas have a Karmakanda section, Jnanakanda section, Upasanakanda section. What does that mean? Karmakanda means how to get a good result by acting nicely in this world, doing sacrifices, etc. Jnanakanda means basically knowledge, trying to figure things out, understanding things, advancement in that way, and then these Upasanakanda, which is meant for worship. And the topmost aspect of worship is Yajna Vai Vishnu, or worship of Krishna or Vishnu. Similarly, one can attain the Pitta planets, which is what I talked about. Pitta, it's actually how you say it. Pitta planets. That's the vacation spot where your ancestors go as long as you pay the bills. We talked about this many times before. That's why you have the Pinda ceremony. And this Pinda ceremony is arranged so that you can actually transfer good karma to your ancestors who are enjoying in the celestial vacation spot. It's more or less like a fancy form of Western Union. I don't know if any of you know what Western Union is, but Western Union means you go to a particular Western Union office, which incidentally is all over the place in America. You can even go to the drugstores in the Western Union office, and you could send money to someone else, anywhere else in the world, almost anywhere else in the world, except for North Korea. And the person will get it the same day. So this is the same process. When you do this pinda for the pitas, that means those who have passed away, the forefathers, then you're sending them karmic money so they can continue to enjoy it. And when you stop sending the karmic money to them, then Shine Punya Marcha Loka Mishanti, they come back down and take birth again in this world, or in some world. Similarly, one can go to many ghostly planets and become a yaksha, raksha, or a pisacha. Pisacha worship is called black arts or black magic. There are many men who practice this black art, and they think that it's spiritualism, but such activities are completely materialistic. Actually, there's ladies who, khichdi, that doesn't mean khichdi that you eat, they fly on uprooted trees. That's why in America you have this whole concept that ladies sometimes can fly using a broom. It's not a broom they fly in. You've got it all wrong. You have an uprooted tree, and you know the root of the tree looks somewhat like a broom, and you fly in it. It's pretty easy. Anyway, so there are witches. And out there, let me tell you some stories about things like that. So in case you think there are not. I spent many years in South America. And in South America, there are actually stores downtown where you can buy implements to practice black magic. Like in Ecuador. Ecuador is called Ecuador because it's near the equator. So in Ecuador, you can actually buy a real shrunken head. So, here's an interesting story. So, being very merciful, devotees try to preach to these visajas or witches or rakshas or yakshas or whatever. And so when I was in Venezuela, we would send devotees to the witch convention. Because every year, you know, they'd have their convention. Just like you have conventions in America. Nowadays, of course, I guess the witches, they have conventions using Zoom or some other system like that. So in those days, they used to have in-person conventions. So I sent the devotees to preach. And several things happened that were very interesting. One thing happened is one of the witches ran to grab one of the men. And this man, or devotee, sorry, she went to grab his bead bag, and when she tried to kill it close to the bead bag and almost touched the bead bag, she flew back in the air like 20 feet in the air. Because a spiritual potency protected this devotee. Another time in Brazil, there was one of our brahmacharis who was out on Sankirtan, book distribution, and there was one of these witches who wanted to attract him, and she threw a lizard at him. And he started to follow her. And eventually, he was grabbed by the other devotees who saved his life. Another time in one of our temples, one of the ladies who knew witchcraft, she made a voodoo doll of a brahmachari that she wanted to marry. And so one day he just like went in a trance and married him. So it's actually there, you know, these black magic. Of course, in Bengal, it's very prominent, where Prabhupada came from. There's a lot of witchcraft there. Therefore, you have to be very careful what you eat. Sometimes devotees have mentioned that they have bewitched even some sweet balls that are sold in the market. And so one has to be very careful. Of course, the ultimate protection that we have from witchcraft and ghosts and spirits and everything like that is the chanting of the holy name. Because wherever the chanting of the holy name is done seriously, witches and ghosts and goblins and ghouls cannot exist. So we should chant very enthusiastically. Now, I'll tell you an interesting story about that. Once upon a time, there was a ghost or several ghosts in one of the houses. So I called for one of my disciple Ghostbusters, because he was a professional Ghostbuster, family of Ghostbusters, and he went there to get rid of the ghost, or ghosts. And I said, can I go with you? I really want to see this. You know, I want to take pictures of the ghosts and get their autograph and everything like that. So we went, and he said to me, he said, Guru Maharaj, you have to leave. I said, why? This is fun. He said, because as long as you are here, ghosts are not coming out to talk to me. Because, you know, the way they get rid of the ghosts is to talk to the ghosts. Anyway, so there are ghosts, and there are people. Even I have one disciple who advertises herself. She's from New Orleans, or at least she did advertise herself. I think she's retired, voodoo princess. And she advertises that her guru taught her everything she knows. Of course, I did not teach her anything about voodoo. So there are many men who practice black art, and they think it is spiritualism, but such activities are completely materialistic. Similarly, a pure devotee who worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead only achieves the planets of Vaikuntha and Krishna Loka without a doubt. It is very easy to understand through this important verse that if by simply worshiping the demigods one can achieve the heavenly planets, or by worshiping the pitas, achieve the pita planets, or by practicing the black arts, achieve the ghostly planets, why can the pure devotee not achieve the planet of Krishna or Vishnu? Unfortunately, many people have no information of these sublime planets where Krishna and Vishnu live, and because they do not know of them, they fall down. Even the impersonalists fall down from the Brahmajyoti. I should explain that. Brahmajyoti is the effulgence or energy of Krishna. Actually, sometimes the Brahmajyoti is called the impersonal Brahman. But in reality, it's not impersonal. Because the effulgence you see around Krishna is composed of little, tiny spiritual sparks. And those spiritual sparks are jiva souls. They're jiva souls who were impersonalists who want to merge in the Brahmajyoti. Just like if you see a lot of light somewhere, you may not see the individual lamps that are causing the illumination. But if you get closer, you can see all the individual lamps. In the same way, the Brahmajyoti appears to be an undifferentiated light. But it is actually composed of very, very, very small, like firefly-type jiva souls. And so those jiva souls that are floating around in the Brahmajyoti are basically unconscious. They don't feel anything, think anything. They have inherent desires, but the desires are not really manifest. So what happens is after some time, just like a firefly, you know, flies into the fire, but anyway, a fly may fly out of the area, they fall down from the Brahmajyoti because there's no satisfaction in the Brahmajyoti. And then, what is that? Rudi kachena param padam pata vadanti yushmad angreha. They come back down to this earth planet. So they're not really liberated. The Bhagavatam says that they are vimukti manina. They are simply not liberated, but it's just in the mind they think that they're liberated. So the Krishna consciousness movement is there for it. But anyway, those who go back to Godhead don't come back. Those who go anywhere else, it's not permanent. They fall down, come back, go up, whatever. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore distributing sublime information to the entire human society to the effect that by simply chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can become perfect in this life and go back home, back to Godhead. And I was also listening to a memory what he was giving about Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was very interesting. One day, the devotees were supposed to celebrate Prabhupada's appearance day. And they didn't even know what Pushpanjali was at that time. And Prabhupada got really upset. And eventually, Prabhupada said, it's only the Hare Krishna mantra that maintains these people. If they didn't chant Hare Krishna, they wouldn't be able to do anything, at least anything spiritually. So our whole basis of spiritual life is based upon chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. That's it. Chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, this keeps us strong. You know, if you want to have spiritual strength, then you have to follow the process to have spiritual strength. Just like we have our morning program, you get up, Mangalarti, you inoculate yourself. I know I've given that example before. You inoculate yourself so you become free from the virus of the material energy. So, we have to regularly chant. If you don't regularly chant, you're going to find yourself slipping back into mundane consciousness. Anyway, by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can become perfect in this life and go back home, back to Godhead, and not come back. Okay, text 26. Another very important verse. This chapter 9 is filled with verses that we should memorize. We've quoted this verse many times before. Patram pushpam palam toyam yumi bhaktya prayachati taraham bhakti paratam ashnami prayatatmanaha. Patram, a leaf, pushpam, a flower, palam, a fruit, toyam, water, ya, whoever, may unto me, bhaktya, with devotion, prayachati, offers tat that, aham, I, bhakta, bhakti, uparatam, offered in devotion, ashnami, accept, prayata, atmana, from one in pure consciousness. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. So this verse is oftentimes used by Srila Prabhupada to justify our following a vegetarian diet. But apart from that, what this verse does is indicates that Krishna is pleased with love and devotion. Krishna certainly doesn't need a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water. But he's hankering for our devotion. And so one has to offer with devotion, one offers with devotion, even if there's some mistake, like there was a story of a devotee, one time he was so much in love with Krishna, he offered the banana peel instead of the banana, and Krishna accepted it. And if one doesn't have devotion, one could offer Krishna all sorts of stuff, and Krishna will not accept it. So the whole point is to have devotion for Krishna. When you're offering something, not simply a mantra, rituals, and stuff like that, although you can use those, the whole point is to say, Krishna, please accept it. Just like we heard the story the other day about this devotee, Raghunandana. Raghunandana was the son of Mukunda, and he was supposed to take care of some deities while his father was away. Mukunda was the father, was a physician. And so Raghunandana didn't know any mantras, didn't know any procedures. The only thing he knew to say to Krishna, and he was filled with devotion, was eat. And when Krishna didn't eat right away, he didn't see Krishna eat. Of course, generally we don't see Krishna eat, but he's eating. He started crying. And some stories say he threatened Krishna, but that's another point. And he started crying, and Krishna got off the altar and ate. So the question is raised, insofar as we are concerned, is that, you know, really, do we have love and devotion? Or are we just offering so we can enjoy? Are we thinking, you know, we should offer because we don't want to be sinful, we want to do the right thing, we want to eat prasadam. So basically the altar for us may become like the checkout counter at the supermarket. You know, you pass like the checkout counter at the supermarket, you pass whatever you bought, and you pay the price. Okay. So the price is we bow down, we paid it, and then we can eat it. So that consciousness is not good consciousness, not exactly love and devotion. But frankly speaking, how many times, we should be introspective, how many times do we actually think when we're making an offering, Krishna, please take this. And not only take this, leaf, fruit, water, or whatever, but take me, take my whole life. I'm offering myself. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, Manasadeha Geya, Yokishamor Arpilam Tuya Pari Nandakashore. Oh, Nandakashore, My mind, my body, my home, my family, everything is yours. So how many times do we think like that when we are making an offering to Krishna? I mean, very few times, most people. I mean, probably all the time. But for most of us, you know, it's just basically, all right, it's time to offer. Here's the mantra. Let's do a little arti, wave a little incense, wave a little lamp, wave a little concha filled with water, wave a little napkin, wave a little flower, wave a little peacock feather, wave a little chamara whisk, and blow the magic concha. You know, so how many times are we actually thinking, oh, Krishna, please accept this? So then what do we do? What do we do if we don't have devotion? I mean, it's an important discussion. Well, is a solution. We offer with as much devotion as we can muster to our spiritual master. And the guru has devotion. He passes to his guru and he loves Krishna. And, you know, Krishna accepts. If we don't try to offer through guru, then how will Krishna accept? Because we don't, I mean, myself, but, you know, we may not have love and devotion for Krishna. So then the question also arises, what does someone do before they're initiated? I mean, we're having this discussion on the internet. Can Krishna accept? And yes, I mean, all of us are connecting with Prabhupada. This is not Rithvik philosophy, but we're connecting with Prabhupada, even before we've accepted a guru. But, you know, when we've accepted, we should have guru's picture on the altar and realize that. I have Prabhupada's picture on my altar, big picture, actually, on the altar, very big picture. I also have a picture of all my godbrothers who have passed away, but that's another subject matter. So we offer through Prabhupada, you know, guru, Prabhupada, etc., like that. And then Krishna will accept. And then there's another discussion we're having on the internet. There's one devotee who's working in a vegan restaurant, and the people are offering vegan food. They want him to offer it to Krishna. But unfortunately, the vegan food has onions and garlic in it. You know, people ask, why don't we eat onions and garlic? Well, good reason. The modes of nature. Onions and garlic bring one's consciousness down. Modes of nature. I know there's different verses in the Vedic literatures that talk about garlic being the bones or whatever. But anyway, so garlic and onions actually bring the consciousness down. And if you can Google on the internet, you'll see that in many cases, pilots are not allowed to eat garlic before they fly. For various reasons. One reason is their reflexes become diminished because they become more in the mode of ignorance. And you need to be really sharp if you fly in a plane with 300 people in it. So, Hare Krishna. And what does Vika smelling bad? Of course, these things can be accepted and for medicine. For medicinal use, you know, the Ayurvedic accepts these. The Ayurveda accepts these things, but not for food. So you have to offer to Krishna what he likes, utilizing the right process, and if you don't have this like pure love and devotion, then go through Krishna's pure devotee. And even if you do have pure love and devotion, you'll be so humble thinking that you don't have any love and devotion. Anybody who says, I love Krishna, doesn't love Krishna. I mean, they can say it, but if they start bragging about it, I'm pure devotee of Krishna, you know. I have so much love for Krishna. A pure devotee thinks he is unqualified. Unqualified. That's why a pure devotee, or even a sincere, humble devotee, doesn't try to jump up to a higher platform. He waits until that higher platform is revealed to him or her. Anyway, so these are some of the important points about this verse. Love and devotion, offer what Krishna wants. Krishna will surely accept it, and when Krishna accepts it, it becomes his remnants, or prasadam. Purport, for the intelligent person, it is essential to be in Krishna consciousness, engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord in order to achieve a permanent blissful abode, abode is a place, for eternal happiness. The process of achieving such a marvelous result is very easy, can be attempted even by the poorest of the poor without any kind of qualification. The only qualification required in this connection is to be a pure devotee of the Lord. That's a big qualification. That's interesting. Prabhupada says the only qualification required in this connection is to be a pure. That's easy for Prabhupada to say. Well, that's why we offer through Krishna's pure devotee. Huh? Because Prabhupada said that that qualification is necessary. That he uses the word required. That means it's necessary to be a pure devotee of the Lord to offer to Krishna. It does not matter whether what one is or where one is situated. The process is so easy that even a leaf or a little water or fruit can be offered to the Supreme Lord in genuine love, and the Lord will be pleased to accept it. Like sometimes devotees, they even offer Ganges water back to the Ganges. Comes from the Ganges? Offers the Ganges. So whatever you offer to Krishna, it came from him. You understand? You didn't invent it. It's his anyway. But it's the act of devotion that's the important point. No one, therefore, can be barred from Krishna consciousness because it is so easy and universal. And even if you don't have any money or any facility or anything like that, you can still offer to Krishna. You can meditate on it. There's the story in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu about this Brahmin who basically, I guess, had no facility, so he was meditating on making sweet rice for Krishna. And in his meditation, he was thinking, I want the sweet rice to be cool because hot sweet rice is not so nice. So he was meditating, how can I test to see if the sweet rice is cool? So let me touch it with my finger. Meditation. All meditation. And so he touched the sweet rice with his finger in the meditation, and externally, you know, in the external world, you know, this body, Panchamahabhuta, earth, water, fire, air, ether, his finger got burnt. He came back to external consciousness, looking at his finger. What? That was his meditation. At the same time, Krishna was there in the spiritual world, and he was laughing. And Lakshmi sort of asked him, what are you laughing at? And Krishna explained, and he came down, picked up the devotee, sent an aeroplane, not a 747 or 737 MAX or anything like that. He sent his spiritual airplane, picked the devotee up, took the devotee back to Godhead, just because the devotee was offering with love and devotion in his heart. So the love and devotion is the important thing. At the same time, you can, if you have many things and you offer very little, that is nonsense. In other words, let's say you are a millionaire, billionaire, quadrillionaire. Okay. And then you just pick some leaf up. And you say, Krishna, you say in the Bhagavad Gita, a leaf of fruit or a flower with little devotion. Yeah, I didn't pay anything for this. So here it is. I'm offering through Prabhupada. Krishna's thinking, this rascal. Because as Prabhupada said one time, he says, Krishna doesn't see what you give, what you're holding back. In other words, you have to be able to offer everything. We were talking about this today, this morning, amongst the devotees. We were saying, talking about a particular devotee who offered everything. This devotee went before the deities, and he or she offered themselves to Krishna. From this day forward, I'm yours, Krishna. I belong to you. And so when you say that, you got to be ready for what Krishna is going to do at that point. Krishna doesn't take those words. Whoops. Krishna doesn't take those words in vain and think, well, person said, no. He says, the person said it. Okay, you wanted it. Here we go. Back to home, back to Godhead. You're mine, and no one else can have you. So it happens. So who is... All right, let's continue. Prabhupada said, it's really interesting that Prabhupada said, Who is such a fool that he does not want to be Krishna conscious by the simple method and thus attain the highest perfection of life, eternity, bliss, and knowledge? Let me go back. The process is so easy that even a leaf or a little water or fruit can be offered to the Supreme Lord in genuine love, and the Lord will be pleased to accept it. No one, therefore, can be barred from Krishna consciousness because it's so easy and universal. Who is such a fool that he does not want to be Krishna conscious by this simple method and thus attain the highest perfection of his life of eternally bliss and knowledge? So in other words, we just have to offer it through Krishna's pure devotee. Just cooperate. It's not a problem. You don't have to be a pure devotee. You'll become a pure devotee in this way. It's so easy. But we're just making things very complicated. Anyway, I think someone's saying something in the chat window. Unless it's important, don't make a chat. Oh, someone just offering dandabhats. Dandabhats. A dandabhat devotee. Krishna all wants only loving service and nothing more. Krishna accepts even a little flower from his pure devotee. He does not want any kind of offering from a non-devotee. He is not in need of anything from anyone because he is self-sufficient. That's called self-sufficient, swarat. And yet he accepts the offering of his devotee in exchange of love and affection. So important, this verse in purport. To develop Krishna consciousness is the highest perfection of life. Bhakti is mentioned twice in this verse in order to declare more emphatically, that bhakti, or devotional service, is the only means to approach Krishna. Bhakti mam abhijanati yabanyas chasmi tatvataha. Only by bhakti. What does bhakti mean? Let's describe what bhakti means. From the Nectar of Instruction, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anyabhi lashita shunyam, jnana karma navritam, anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti rutamam. What does that mean? It means bhakti, first of all, negatively, is devoid of certain things. In other words, doesn't have those things. Shunya means zero. Shunyam means it is all zero. What is it devoid of? Desire, anyamidashita shunyam, jnana karma. Therefore, liberation or sense gratification in this world, it's devoid of that, anavritam. But positively, it has anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti rutamam. It is done in a way that pleases Krishna, with the mood of pleasing Krishna, doing what Krishna wants, you know, offering leaf, fruit, or water, whatever, flour, and not meat, fish, and eggs, obviously. Doing what Krishna wants, doing in a spirit of devotion, and being active, being very enthusiastic, utsahan, enthusiastic in doing it. And then, that's what bhakti is, right there. No other condition, Prabhupada says, such as becoming a brahmana, a learned scholar, a very rich man, or a great philosopher can induce Krishna to accept some offering. Without the basic principle of bhakti, nothing can induce the Lord to agree to accept anything from anyone. That's why we have to offer through Krishna's pure devotee. Bhakti is never causal. In other words, there's no cause to bhakti. It's the only thing that will satisfy the self, and it has no material cause. And it's never stopped in any condition. The cause of what is the cause of bhakti? Bhakti itself is the cause of bhakti. That's it. Bhakti itself. So how do you get that bhakti? Associate with the devotees who have bhakti. And the bhakti from their heart is the cause of your getting bhakti. There's nothing else that causes bhakti. Bhakti itself is the cause of itself. The process is eternal. It is direct action and service to the absolute whole. Here, Lord Krishna, having established that he is the only enjoyer, the primeval Lord, and the real object of sacrificial offerings, reveals what types of sacrifices he desires to be offered. If one wishes to engage in devotional service to the Supreme in order to be purified and to reach the goal of life, the transcendental loving service of God, then one should find out what the Lord desires of him. What does Krishna want? I mean, that's, how do you find that out? I don't know. Yes, of course, I do know. You ask Krishna's representative. What does Krishna want me to do? Very easy. What does he want? And instructions, specifically, will differ according to time, place, circumstance, person, etc., like that. What Krishna wants. And if we adhere to that, yasya prasada, bhagavat prasada, then we get bhagavat prasada. That doesn't mean Krishna prasada, may mean that too, but it means the mercy of Krishna. It's as simple as that. I mean, how can you say, how can you make an argument that Prabhupada got more mercy than anybody else because he adhered to the order of his guru? His whole life and soul was dedicated to that order. As simple as that. So Prabhupada knew what Krishna desired of him. It was very easy. Of course, he was also personally in contact with Krishna as a pure devotee. One who loves Krishna will give him whatever he wants, and he avoids offering anything which is undesirable or unasked. It's interesting, when the devotees were first told this, you know, offer whatever is your favorite thing you should offer to Krishna, in some places, because the devotees had been hippies before, they were offering to Krishna blue jeans, you know, pants and things like that, things that Krishna obviously wouldn't accept, but, you know, because there was devotional mood, I guess Krishna had some happiness in that regard. Thus, meat, fish, and eggs should not be offered to Krishna. Oh, God, who would do that? Unfortunately, in some places, they actually mix fish with Mahaprasad and Jagannath Puri. They do that. Some people do that, the pandas. If he desired such things as offerings, he would have said so. Instead, he clearly requests a leaf, fruit, flowers, and water be given to him. And he says, of this offering, I will accept it. Therefore, we should understand that he will not accept meat, fish, and eggs. Vegetables, grains, fruits, milk, water are the proper foods for human beings and are prescribed by Lord Krishna himself. Whatever else we eat cannot be offered to him, since he will not accept it. In other words, you have to do it with devotion, but it has to be what he asks for. I probably gave the example. Let's say someone is serving Prabhupada, and Prabhupada asks for water, and you bring him milk. That's not devotion, even though milk is allowed in that particular circumstance. But the idea is to bring something, or give something, or offer something that the person whom you are serving asks for. It's not simply being active. You can be active foolish. You can bring someone things that they don't ask for, or in such a way that displeases them. You have to really understand the person who you're serving. I mean, Prabhupada even gave the example about the guru was being served by a disciple, and the guru kept asking that it was a trusted disciple. He gave the disciple access to his bank account. And the guru kept asking for things from the disciple, and the disciple got the guru whatever he wanted. You know, the guru asked, can I have this computer? And the disciple said, yes. And the guru said, oh, very nice. And the disciple said, it's all yours, Guru Maharaj. Everything, all yours, Guru Maharaj. Of course, that's the mood of the disciple. So then, after a while, the guru asked for something, and the disciple said, no more money in the bank account. And the guru said, what happened? And the disciple said, it was all yours, Guru Maharaj. Anyway, so you have to know what the guru wants. In the third chapter, verse 13, Sri Krishna explains that only the remnants or remains of sacrifice are purified and fit for consumption by those who are seeking advancement of life and release from the clutches of the material entanglement. Those who do not make an offering of their food, he says in the same verse, are eating only sin pop. In other words, their every mouthful is simply deepening their involvement in the complexities of material nature. Powerful statement. but preparing nice, simple vegetable dishes, offering them before a picture of deity of Lord Krishna and the spiritual master, and bowing down and praying for him to accept such a humble offering enables one to advance steadily in life and to purify the body and to create fine brain tissues which lead to clear thinking. Above all, the offering should be made with an attitude of love. Krishna has no need of food since he already possesses everything that be, yet he will accept the offering of one who desires to please him in that way. The important element in preparation and serving an offering is to act with love for Krishna. Let's see how long this purport is. So let's see if we want to finish it today. Yeah, we can finish it. All right, hold on. The impersonalist, philosophers who wish to maintain that the absolute truth without senses cannot comprehend this verse of Bhagavad Gita. To them, it is either a metaphor or proof of the mundane character of Krishna, the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita. But in actuality, Krishna, the supreme Godhead, has senses. God has senses. And it is stated that his senses are interchangeable. In other words, one sense can perform the function of any other. We mentioned that before. It's from the Brahman Sanhita. This is what it means to say that Krishna is absolute. Lacking senses, he could hardly be considered full in all opulences. In the seventh chapter, Krishna has explained that he impregnates the living entities into material nature. We explain that thoroughly. He looks at the material nature becomes impregnated with us. We're the kids. This is done by looking upon material nature. And so, in this instance, Krishna is hearing the devotee's word of love, words of love, and offering foodstuffs is wholly identical with his eating and actually tasting. So, in other words, it's Krishna's hearing, I'm going to repeat this, the devotee's words of love, which are identical with eating and tasting. Wow! Of course, that doesn't mean you offer some slop to Krishna. It has to be offered nicely, because that is a manifestation of love. Actually, you can taste the difference between someone who offers with love and someone who offers just like ritualistically. I mean, devotees were telling me one time when Prabhupada cooked a feast that they just couldn't stop from eating and they were just like feeling like so much ecstasy, they just like scraping the pot just to eat every last grain that was there in the pot. This Prabhupada cooked and sat with such devotion. This point should be emphasized because of his absolute position, his hearing is wholly identical with the eating and tasting. Only the devotee who accepts Krishna as he describes himself without interpretation can understand. Whoops. What happened? What happened? That the supreme person, that the supreme absolute truth can eat food and enjoy it. So, anyway. So tomorrow we'll start with text 27. Okay, so we did two verses today, which is pretty good. Okay, so in a second we can take questions. Let's go back and open it up for questions. Give me 1 second so I can allow you to unmute yourselves. Okay, and so we got quite a few people here today. Let's let the people from North Carolina answer questions right now. Our congregation in North Carolina. First, they get first dibs on this. So anybody have any questions? No, Prasant, you just wait. I know you're in North Carolina, but you can wait. You've been asking questions every day. And Nalini Khan, you're going to wait too. So someone else from North Carolina? All right, going. All right, who's that?
Veda Priya.
Oh, Veda Priya, Hare Krishna. So you have a question?
Yeah. I know that you talked a ton about it before I generated the question, but I still am wondering how you know if Krishna's accepted your food when you offer it.
How do you know whether Krishna's accepting your food? If you follow the process of offering through Krishna's devotee, it is prasadam. As long as it's not meat, fish, and eggs, and no marijuana either, even though it's marijuana is a leaf. That's true. It falls within the categories. I know some of you may be thinking, yo, leaf, fruit, little water, you know. I know you don't do that, but I'm just making a little play on play here. As long as we follow, offer the procedure to Krishna's devotee, then we know Krishna's devotee is very kind. Krishna's devotee is more kind than Krishna himself. Prabhupada is very kind that he'll just arrange for it, you know, even if we don't do everything properly. I mean, anyway, he's very compassionate. And also, we're worshiping Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So, don't worry, be happy. Okay, good question. And actually, anyways, oh yeah, here was the other question I didn't answer fully. But I said this devotee was working in a restaurant, and he had, during the class, and they have food with onions and garlic in it. So how does he offer onions? He can't offer onions and garlic to Krishna. I was thinking about this because we're discussing this on the GBC conference, you know, one of these big issues we discuss on the GBC conference. And actually the way he can do it is that I ask Krishna to accept all the ingredients that are okay. Just like when I was young, we used to offer the whole supermarket to Krishna. We used to go into the supermarket and say, Krishna, everything that's okay in the supermarket, please accept. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrstaya. Like that. So you can actually do that. Or another way they can do that is just take, like they're making veggie burgers. So just take one veggie burger that doesn't have those prohibited ingredients in them and offer that, and then as long as it's the same sort of ingredients that are going to be used in the rest of the veggie burgers that they're going to add the onions and garlic to, then all the veggie burgers, at least the parts that don't, you know, anyway, the vegetable parts in it will be got them. So it's a, I didn't answer that question while I was giving the class, so.
Just relax. How do you get to the chat?
Whoops. Who else has a question? Anybody else have a question?
Maharaj, Gurudev, this is Sita Devidasi.
Hare Krishna, Sita.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, sorry, Maharaj, when I turn on my video, then I think something goes wrong with my Zoom.
All right, that's okay.
So I have a question in regards to, you know, how, like you always said that we have to, like chanting, not have to, chanting is a begging process, yeah. And we beg Krishna. So instead of Krishna, can we beg our spiritual master? Because I've been also thinking, yes. I feel, okay, thank you.
You can beg the spiritual master. Give me your mercy. That's fine.
Okay, thank yes. you.
Yes, we thank can you. Beg for the mercy of any great devotee. Thank you, Sita.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Anyone else from North Carolina? Actually, in the meantime, while we're taking questions, I want to ask people to vote in the chat window. And the vote will be that I was thinking of every day doing it at this same time, which is actually more convenient for me at 5 o'clock our time, but I don't know if it's convenient for everybody else. So if you say yes in the chat window, we're going to toll up the votes. It's like a GBC meeting. If you say yes, then that means 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 o'clock in the morning, Australia time, 9 o'clock in the morning, Fiji time, and India, you should be sleeping anyway, so don't even worry about that. And you can figure out about the, you've got a lot of guesses. You know, what's most convenient for all of you, because I'm here to serve everybody, and I'll just base it on that, because I'll tell you why it's more convenient for me, because if I give class at 6 o'clock here in the evening, after class I get so wired up that I'm bouncing off the walls and can't go to sleep at night. It is like, I'm so ecstatic that I just like jump outside, play with the raccoons outside for a few minutes. Feed them. Actually, I'm feeding them my raccoons. Oh my God. I just fed my raccoons a whole bowl of stuff and they just demolished it. Not raccoons, of course, squirrels. And they just demolished it. So, and you know, I just get wound up at when I start preaching and then I can't go to sleep, which is not so good for me. So it's 5 o'clock is better for me. So, a working day is 5 p.m. as conflict. Yes, I know that for local devotees, 5 p.m. is a conflict for people. So I just want to hear what's better for everybody, if you all can vote. So any other questions or comments anybody would like to make? It's open for everybody. Everybody can answer your questions. Ask your questions and answer your questions. And we should all offer ourselves to Krishna. Okay, Prasant, you can ask your question now.
Please accept my humble obeisances, Maharaj, and all the glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Okay.
Maharaj, while you were explaining about the purport, the question I was having was about the Pitriloka. So I was wondering if Pitriloka is above the earthly planet or is it like below the earthly planet? Like,
that's a good question. It's considered like a heavenly planet, so I would assume it's higher than the earthly planet.
And that means the Pitriloka is higher than the Gandharva planets and all? Or
I don't know. I don't really haven't measured it recently, so I don't know. I don't know. I mean, when you're talking about higher and lower, it depends on what direction you're looking.
Right, Maharaj, because the question I got, it was like, if again, the scripture says that if we have one devotee in the family, like the 10 generations up and 10 generations down.
Get liberated.
Get liberated.
They don't go to Pitriloka, they get liberated, yeah.
Yeah, they will be getting liberated, means then the other stack of our forefathers will be again coming to Pitriloka? Is that how
no,
it goes?
No, not on? Pitriloka. No. They get a chance to execute devotional service. They don't go to Pitriloka. It has nothing to do with Pitriloka. It has everything to do with getting a chance to engage in devotional service. Pitriloka. Yeah, that's the important thing.
Yeah,
actually, you're talking about up and down. Many of the people who are listening now are below on the bottom portion of the Earth planet. You're in Australia and New Zealand. You're below,
yes.
So I don't know what's higher or lower. And you're all upside down. So anyway, so the Earth. Yeah, so don't worry. Anyone who's an ancestor, if you're doing devotional service, they get liberated. Liberated means they get free from karma, they get a chance to do devotional service. But as far as going back to Godhead, they have to be pure devotees before they can go back to Godhead.
So which means that they will again get back some body, or from there,
yes,
only they will get...
If they're not pure devotees, they will take up another body and get a chance to execute devotional service in the future. They will run into the Sankirtan movement and they will get a chance to execute devotional service. That's nice. And in this life, their life is becoming more fortunate because they're your relatives. I know my father, for example, he was very successful in business, and he said the reason he was successful in business is because I was a devotee.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said to him, so you should give me a percentage.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no. I said, if I'm the reason you're a success, you know, come on, you know, give me a cut here. Give the movement a cut. He didn't agree with that one. I mean, he was so successful, he was driving around a Rolls Royce and a Jaguar. And me, I'm just driving around in a Prius. So it seems like when you become a devotee, you give more blessings to your family than you get. at least material blessings. So, any other questions or comments? Nalini Kant, you have permission now.
Hare Krishna Gurudev, Hare Pranam, thank you. Gurudev, if you mentioned in your explanation that if ancestors are in, if someone praying to Pitru like Pindadan and they, if they are in hell, one can actually end up in hell.
If you worship someone who's in hell, yes, I mean, because they're in hell because for specific reasons.
If one is doing Pindadan for that ancestor who is...
No, that's not worship of them. That's worship Pitri Loka. Pindadan means you're actually doing a bona fide Vedic sacrifice. But if you actually worship someone who's in hell... Like if you were to worship Adolf Hitler, for example, and I think he must be in hell right now, then you will go to hell. So don't worship that. Anyway, those in the mode of passion worship the demons, those in the mode of ignorance worship the ghosts and spirits, and those in the mode of goodness worship the demigods. So don't worship demons. But you worship, if you perform the pinda, you're not actually worshiping them, you're worshiping the Pitris, you know, like that. All right.
Gurudev, a quick question regarding offering. Offering chocolates from the market and chips from the market to deities, following the procedure.
Oh my God. No comment. Anyways. Make your own chips. I mean, I don't buy, personally, I don't buy any food that's prepared by others. I'm trying to think if I do. Well, I mean, puffies. I mean, like, quinoa puffies, because it would be impossible for me to make. But chips generally means, like, fried and everything like that. Anyway. Take your chances. If you feel like a demon after eating them, then you know why.
Same goes for chocolates, Gurudev.
Yeah.
Chocolate? I don't know. That's a controversy. Nobody will listen to my classes if I talk about chocolates in a negative way. Actually, it's funny. I just fed my squirrels some chocolate. And they liked it. And now they're really running around like crazy. I had cocoa nibs and I fed it to my squirrels out here and they're just completely intoxicated, jumping up and down on top of each other. So, whatever. Okay, that's enough. So anyway, that's enough questions. I want to ditch in Orion Prabhu to make an announcement because we have some programs coming up like Janmashtami. And so he's going to make an announcement for those of you. I mean, many of the people in our congregation are actually listening on Facebook. Because Maharaj. That's actually easier. Yes, Ujula.
Dandavas to you, Maharaj. Dandavas to you. Is it okay to go ahead with the question? Small one?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead, one more question.
Right. Maharaj, thank you. Thank you for the classes. A question on Trinadapi again, Maharaj. So... for the devotees, I mean, if we have to get to the stage of Trinadapi, until when we don't actually start performing real bhakti, looks like mode of goodness is a stepping stone. So without passing through that mode of goodness, we will not be able to get to the Trinadapi. And the second thing is, so in that case, does the focus has to be on mode of goodness?
No. Because the only way you'll get in the mode of goodness is practicing bhakti. And by practicing bhakti, automatically one comes to that platform, especially by chanting the holy name. Aho bhatta swa pachito gariyan yajivagri vartate namatubhyam tepus tepus jehuva shashna aryan ramanucha nama granantiyate. how wonderful it is if one is chanting Krishna's name, of course, absorbed in Krishna's name, one automatically surpasses the platform of Brahman or mode of goodness. So we should also cultivate the mode of goodness, but bhakti itself has no prerequisite. As we read in the verse, or actually I quoted from the Bhagavatam, ahaitukiya pratyata, there is no prerequisite or condition that bhakti depends on. And that's why you see people in the mode of ignorance immediately become pure devotees by the mercy of another pure devotee. But at the same time, we should cultivate the mode of goodness because it's helpful to become Krishna conscious. And the way we cultivate the mode of goodness is that we engage in bhakti by chanting. Chanting, and also we're introspective and being conscious of how we interact. The mode of goodness, actually, according to Krishna in the Gita, means to see one undivided spiritual, one spiritual nature in all living entities. So, it first starts, because you were talking about Trinadapi, understanding that everybody is equal, and everybody, and everybody is an object of service. So that's how we can cultivate the mode of goodness. All right, good question. And let's let Aditya Narayan Prabhu say a few words about what's happening.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Baba.
Thank you so much for the wonderful class. Particularly this section of the Bhagavad Gita is so sweet. Particularly you discuss 927, such a wonderful verse and such a beautiful purpose. So thank you so much, Maharaj, for your wonderful class. On 11th of August, on Tuesday, is Sri Krishna Janmashtami. And we have been discussing, because of this COVID restrictions, like how we can make the Janmashtami really safe for everyone. So first of all, the entire Janmashtami will be online. So if people don't feel safe to come to the temple, you can watch the darshan online and you'll have Abhishek also online. Like all our festivities will be online. So that's the first point. And in the temple, we will have those who would like to come and have darshan in person. So 11th of August, darshan will be open the whole day. So you can come throughout the day. From 4 p.m. all the way to, well, I won't say midnight yet because midnight we'll have a different plan. But from 4 p.m. onwards, I think it's a working day, so people may come during that time. So the way Janmashtami will be this year is we will have lines which will have social distancing, and it is not going to be as elaborate as the previous years. So people will be, you can come in lines, take darshan, we offer aarti, and there'll be Dugo Prasadam, and also there will be Abhishek for those who have sponsored the Abhishek. So we want to make it like very as safe as possible for all the people. So the lines will be mostly like coming in, you know, take darshan, maybe on a Tugo Prasadam, like receive the Tugo Prasadam, and then, you know, we'll request other devotees to come in. So, everyone who comes, we are requesting everyone, please wear a mask. And in case you have been in contact with anyone who has COVID or you feel like even the slightest symptoms, we encourage you to please watch online just for the safety of everyone. And regarding our sponsorship for Janmashtami, so as every year, like, you know, we sent out the information last week and many of you have come forward and sponsored different aspects of the festival. So we are very grateful to all of you for your continued support to New Goloka Dham. And I would like to announce all the sponsorship options. So we have four main categories. The one is directly related to DT worship. So we have a new DT outfit for $1,001. We have devotees already come forward to sponsor this. A new DT jewelry for $501. Flowers for the festival, $501, and decoration for the festival, $251. So that's the first category. Then second category is regarding the Mahaprasadam. So we will have offerings throughout the day, you know, starting from Mangla, peak offering, and then breakfast, and then Rajbhog and then evening and all the way to midnight. So we will be making all the offerings. You can sponsor the main prasadam feast, that is actually the tubo boxes that will be distributed to all the people who come on Janmashtami. That is like such a wonderful seva to serve all those devotees, Vaishnavas, wonderful prasadam on such an auspicious day. So if you'd like to sponsor that entire prasadam, there's 1001. If you like to sponsor the prasadam on the next day, on 12th of August, which is the appearance day of our beloved spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So on 12th of August, if you like to sponsor the feast, then that is $501. The midnight offering is $351. And the remaining offerings through the day will be $108. Then also Artics, we'll have 7 Artics on the day of Janmashtami. Midnight Artic is $301 sponsorship, and the remaining 6 Artics are $108. And then is the Abhishek sponsorship. So we have 4 different levels, starting from $108, $251, $501, and $1001. So these are all the different levels of sponsorship. I have just mentioned all of them, but you can look up our website. We have all the details. And if you'd like to sponsor any of these, please do reach out to us. Janmashtami is a time when it's a very auspicious time to give a gift to Krishna, and you can sponsor different aspects of the festival and receive unlimited blessings for making a sponsorship on this most auspicious day. So you can reach out to Mother Lila Shakti or myself, Aditya Narayan Das, and the way you can actually sponsor, you can either do a PayPal to newgoloka108@gmail.com, or you can go to our website, newgoloka.com, and there we have multiple options. You have PayPal and credit card options, or you can also call me and make a credit card payment over the phone. So this week I have received few payments over the phone on credit card. You can do that, or you can mail a check our temple. So multiple options for sponsorship. Please do get in touch with us and receive blessings by sponsoring a particular aspect of the Janmashtami festival. So again, if you have any questions, you can also email us at isconnc@gmail.com and or reach out to Mother Lila Shakti or myself, Aditya Narayan Das. So thank you all so much. If you have any questions about the Janmashtami celebration, maybe anything for safety or what all we are going to have, please do get in touch with us. So as I said, the main thing is darshan, abhishek, tugo, prasadam. It's not going to be as elaborate as the other years, because our safety of everyone is our first priority. So So thank you all so much. So again, like, encourage everyone to participate in our sponsorship and give a gift to Sri Sri Radha Golokananda. Shri Shri Radha Golokananda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Swami Krishna Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Thank you so much, Maharaj.
It's going to be very safe, we assure you. What we're thinking of doing is having people wait in their cars, and we'll get their phone number as they're waiting in their cars, right, Aditya Narayan Prabhu?
Yes, Maharaj.
And we'll ask them to come. We have a big parking lot across the street, and people will come when they're called, so we don't have people too close together. We're very concerned because what we've seen, even when we had these programs for Bhakti Chumars 2 or 3 weeks ago, people were not social distancing. So this concept of social distancing is going to be really strictly, I hate to use the word enforced, for the safety of everybody. The main concern is we don't want anyone to get sick. At the same time, we want everyone to have darshan of Radha Golokananda and participate somehow in the festival. And I believe the Midnight Arti is going to be online, right?
Yes, Maharaj, Midnight Arti.
Yeah, because we can't really have a raucous crowd in Midnight Arti. They'll just be the temple devotees at that point. And because North Carolina is experiencing an upsurge in cases right now. It's a material world. So anyway, I guess that's it. So we should end now. And if anyone has any questions about Janmashtami, you can contact Aditya Narayan Prabhu. Go on the website. I think, who answers the newgoloka108@gmail.com? Someone receive the email?
So our, now we have moved on to isconnc@gmail.com. So okay. We would request everyone, please send your emails to isconnc@gmail.com. That is the email ID that is, we are, Mother Lila Shakti and myself, we answer those emails.
Okay. I mean, I could give you the password for Nugaloka 108 too, if you want it.
Sure, Maharaj. If there's any inquiries on the previous email, we will also answer that. But we request everyone to please use this newer email address, isconnc.
Yeah, also PayPal is also connected with isconnc@gmail.com. With both addresses. All right. On that note, thank you very much. I hope you're all going to offer food to Krishna after this.
Maharaj,
just
one point. So, did you make a decision? Are your classes going to be 5 p.m. every evening? Or
let me just look at the voting. I mean, what do you think about it?
Manoj, I see so many yes on the chat. It's all yes, yes, yes.
Yes. I think from now on we'll do it 5 p.m. And the only, you know, Hrishikesh has a conflict on it, but they'll all be recorded. They're all on recorded on YouTube. Immediately afterwards, they're available on YouTube and also on Facebook. So we'll try at 5 p.m. and see how it works. That way we keep it the same time every day, including Sunday. And of course, Janmashtami will be different. I'm thinking we should have constant reading of the Krishna book on Janmashtami, which would be very, very nice for people to... your personal book, somehow or other. Anyway, something will be organized. Okay, thank you very much. I guess that's it. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda, Hari 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 Bol.